You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And from our studios here on the Southwest Side, we welcome you in to the Gym Class here at KGYM on this Friday, the 5th of March, 2021. Thanks for joining us, 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM as well as your KGYM radio stream, the KGYM radio app, and your mobile speaker as well, your smart speaker out there, I should say. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join me coming up here in a moment. Good show coming up for you today. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us, and we will preview the boys' state basketball tournament, which gets underway bright and early on Monday with the game you can hear on 107.5 FM, as it will be North Lynn taking on South Wynn. Yeah, how confusing is that going to be? Yes, North Lynn, South Wynn. Yes, Buttons is looking at me a little bit oddly right there. South Winnesheek, but everyone calls him South Wynn. So anyway, that is the game on Monday morning at 9:45, our only team this year at the boys' state basketball tournament will be the North Lynn Lynx that we will be covering. A lot to get to on the program today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is also the phone line. We're going to talk Iowa and Nebraska from last night. Hawkeyes over the century mark with the victory over Fred Hoiberg and the Huskers. Iowa State falls to 0-17 in the Big 12. And more heat on Steve Prohm. We'll talk about that. UNI with the win last night. They will take on the Drake Bulldogs in the biggest game that Drake has played in a long, long time, coming up this evening at 5 o'clock down at Arch Madness in St. Louis. We'll kick that around. The Big Ten Wrestling Championships, the Big 12 Wrestling Championships going this weekend. And, of course, we talked about that on Wednesday. Zach Johnson with a second round at Bay Hill in the PGA Tour as well. A lot to kick around today on the program at 3:07 as Mark joins us. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Buttons, everyone out there. Yeah, March is so much fun, and it's going to ramp up this weekend with basketball, wrestling, what have you, and just a lot of fun, a lot of things to talk about.
There are a lot of things to talk about, and of course, you mentioned March Madness getting underway. It is officially March, and we have a lot of conference tournaments that will be played this weekend and get concluded. We will have all that up and ready to go at the website coming up here. Did I send you a schedule, Buttons? I think I did. Okay. Yes, thank you. We got one tomorrow and two on Sunday for conference championship games. And then Monday night, the Southern Conference. Tuesday, we've got a doubleheader, which includes the West Coast Conference, which could be Gonzaga, BYU, the third game around. Kind of hoping that is the case. But and then, of course, next week, the Big 12 men's and women's basketball tournament. Iowa State is going to be the 10 seed. We know that. They will play on Wednesday night in the late game down in Kansas City. And we'll have that for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Iowa State women going to be in the 4-5 game against Texas. And that's going to be a heck of a tussle down at the Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament. And that will be coming up, if the bracket is correct, that would be Friday morning in the first game of the day. So I love this time of year. I've said that many, many times. We're going to have NCAA bracket challenge for everybody out there. And more details to come as far as that is concerned from all of us here at KGYM. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll have a great prize for the winner out there. Going to be, I think, probably the hardest bracket to predict this year, without a doubt, as far as, you know, dealing with COVID, things like that. Who knows if a team's, you know, if they get a couple positive readings, they may have to drop out. It's going to be very difficult this year, which means if you win it, you can even have more pride.
Well, routinely, every year, it's difficult for me. I haven't won a bracket challenge since Louisville won it all in sometime in the 80s, I think, Scott.
Oh, boy.
I'm in a drought.
Was that a certain bracket in a certain downtown area of a certain city nearby or which we may live in?
Yes, sir. Might have printed the newspaper or two.
That was shut down after a while because it was too big.
Yeah, you got that right.
I also won that 1 year. Golf was fun and mainly free that year. That was a Fab Five back then, though, that I hitched my wagon to. But anyway. I believe the statute of limitations is all ran out on all that, so we can mention that. Ours might not be quite that lucrative, but we're going to have a good one for you here at KGYM, and more details on that to come, no doubt about that. 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in here today. Let's start things off with an update about Zach Johnson, Cedar Rapids native. Completed his second round at Bay Hill earlier on today, Mark.
He did indeed. He shot a 2-under par 70 after his 2-over par 74 in the first round. He stands at even par, tied for 37th, and comfortably inside the cut line. That's significant because that's 12 straight cuts Zach has made on the PGA Tour, including all 10 this season. So steady as it goes for Zach. A couple top 10s, but largely it's making cuts, cashing checks, and that's a good thing at age 45.
Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. And see how he does over the weekend. Scores not real low again at Bay Hill, so which I'm all for. I think it's fantastic. I like a challenge for the PGA golfers out there. And yes, Ralph, your friend Will Zalatoris is, again, up there in the top 20. So there you go. Hope you had him in your fantasy leagues this weekend or however you attack the world of golf.
Leader right now, Corey Connors, who is Zach Johnson's playing companion for the first two rounds. He's at 9-under par. Martin Laird at 8-under. Laird is still on the course. Victor Hovland and Rory McIlroy at -7. And then you got a bunch of guys at -6, -5. So far from over. Pretty good leaderboard, as it usually is at Bay Hill.
Yeah, very good one. As Arnold Palmer, of course, his legacy tournament, no longer with us, but still his spirit lives on as far as Bay Hill down in Orlando. Matt on the text line. Mark rode the wave with never nervous Purvis Ellison. That was 1986, Mark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
319-366-1600. The text line if you'd like to get in touch with us. All right. Last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the Iowa Hawkeyes hung a 100-burger on Fred Hoiberg and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Things were going so bad for Nebraska that Fred could not break his clipboard that he tried very hard, I think, to break in the first half of that basketball game. It was over very, very quickly, and Iowa got everybody into the ball game. The only negative would be another injury to C.J. Frederick as he went down late in the first half. Did not come back in the ball game. Did come back out to the bench area. And there was no need to play C.J. after that. And did not play him. And we'll have to see what his status will be for the game against Wisconsin, the regular season finale coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, with apologies to the Beach Boys, this was a night of good vibrations. It started out with Luca Garza and Jordan Bohannon receiving commemorative basketballs for their all-time records that they have set. And it just continued Bohannon with 8 threes and 26 points. And I say good vibrations because everybody got into the game and everybody but Tony Perkins scored. And Josh Ogundele, who I mispronounced his name a time or two, with a couple baskets, including a dunk. Austin Ash with a nice floater. Not rarely do you see a two-pointer by Austin, but he got one down, and Michael Bear scoring. And anytime those guys off the bench, and this is just not an Iowa Hawkeye thing, but when you get an opportunity to play those guys that are deep on the bench, that contribute so much in practice each and every day, and see them having success on the court, throw Chris Murray in there, among others. I mean, that just is a good feeling and helps the chemistry of your basketball team. Not that Iowa needs it, but you see those starters like Garza and Bohannon and Wieskamp and others just so thrilled to see those guys having a little success.
319-366-1600. Jordan Bohannon went off to the tune of 26 last night, was 8 out of 12 from three-point range. And when Jordan is pulling up on fast breaks outside the arc, you know that J-Bo is feeling it. And he was feeling it last night. Luca Garza, a very, I guess, recreational 14 and 8 to go along with one assist last night. Patrick McCaffrey, 19 points, I believe a career high. For Patrick, 8 of 13. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, which I like to see. Patrick's always been kind of a streaky shooter from beyond the three-point arc, but boy, he had it going last night. 6 rebounds as well for Patrick, and did some very nice things inside as well. Finished very creatively a couple times last night and took the ball strong to the basket and things were going so well that on an alley-oop to Joe Wieskamp from Jordan Bohannon, it was mishandled and the ball still went right into the basket. That's how things were going last night. Let's not mince words. This is a horrific Nebraska basketball team. I think we can all agree on that. They had won 2 in a row prior to that, though, but Iowa took them out early and... Aside from there was one stretch, I think, where Nebraska hit 4 or 5 in a row and cut it down to, what, 12, 13, something like that?
Nine.
Did it get down to 9? Okay. But then Iowa came back with an 11-0 run, and it was Katie bar the door after that.
Yeah, and Iowa started – Bohannon was the player that played the most minutes, and that was 25. Garza played 24. Connor McCaffrey, 24. Wieskamp. Almost 23, but it allowed that bench to get so much playing time, and Keegan Murray steady again. And you mentioned Patrick McCaffrey, and this is stuck in my head in our Monday visits with Gazette sports columnist Mike Halas. He said earlier this season that Patrick is a star in the making. And I thought, even though it was against Nebraska, not exactly the best team on earth, but it doesn't matter. This is a Big Ten basketball game. And in nearly 20 minutes, Patrick scoring 19, getting 6 rebounds, and really a good slasher to the basket. Doesn't always finish. Showed his outside shooting range, which you saw in high school, Scott. He was 3 of 6 last night from 3. And he was tremendous.
Very tremendous. And what it does is it gives Iowa an opportunity to get a double bye. They control their own destiny. I know a lot of people hate that phrase. Iowa wins Sunday. They're in the top 4. They get a double bye. They don't play in Indianapolis until Friday. And that's the carrot at the end of the stick this week as far as the Hawks are concerned. Ohio State is sitting with 7 losses. Best they can do is 13-7. And Iowa would go to 14-6 with the win over the Wisconsin Badgers. So what a huge game coming up. They're all big. We know that. Last game, more than likely, on the Carver-Hawkeye hardwood for guys like Bohannon, Garza, who knows about Wieskamp, and others. including Austin Ashe, the way it sounds, by the way, who's probably going to be looking elsewhere to continue his career starting up next year. Mike wrote about that a couple days ago as far as the Gazette is concerned. But loved to see a full house there to pay homage and salute this team. But they can do it, I guess Iowa fans can, in spirit. And so much to play for. That double bye is just absolutely, absolutely huge to get.
It is a couple points in that regard. And that it is a shame that fans couldn't have given Garza and Bohannon the standing ovation when they got those commemorative balls last night. Gone crazy when Ogundele. I'm going to get this right.
Ogundele.
Yeah. threw down that slam, among other things. And then tomorrow, when you know it's senior day, and that's the one thing that's missing. But actually, Iowa can lock up that double bye before it even plays Wisconsin, because if either Purdue, which is home to Indiana, or Ohio State, which is home to Illinois, if either Purdue or Ohio State lose, Iowa will have locked up that double bye. And I know Iowa wants to go ahead and beat Wisconsin for seeding purposes as well, because right now it remains on the two line in bracketology by Jerry Palm and Joe Lenardi. And, you know, I think Iowa at least at a minimum wants to preserve that.
No doubt about it. 319-366-1600 at 21 past the hour of 3. Jeff Johnson going to join us from the Gazette coming up here in about 6, 7, 8 minutes. 1156 in the text line asking, your thoughts, should Fran have put Jordan back in to break the single game 3-point record? Might not have taken long. No, I don't think so. Why even put him in there in a 35-point game to keep him in there and risk an injury? Especially when you've had Nunji go down and you've had Frederick now get hurt earlier in the game. And Jordan be the first one to say, nah, the record doesn't bother me. He could add a free throw record and missed intentionally to keep it with Chris Streed. Now that's apples and oranges, I know, but I don't think Fran should have kept him in. That's my opinion. I don't know what you think, Mark.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it would have been rubbing salt in the wound of Nebraska. And some folks might have enjoyed that. By the way, when was the last time Nebraska beat Iowa in anything? Certainly in football and basketball. But no, I think Fran McCaffrey has enough respect for Fred Hoiberg in particular that he probably didn't even entertain it.
No. And Jordan... when they went out, the starters looked like they were hunkered down for the evening. Jordan had the towel around his head and cheering on the teammates. That's what the rest of the night was going to be about as far as Iowa basketball is concerned. Michigan did win the Big Ten regular season championship last night. Partied like it was 1999 on the court, which kind of made some people take note. As far as social networking is concerned, I had no problem with it. Heck, you win a league title like that, throw some confetti around and, you know, get the trophy or whatever the case may be. You earned it. You know, you don't want to see him do it? Don't let him do it, I guess is the way to look at it. I had no problem with it, and congratulations.
I didn't necessarily want to see Juwan Howard dancing out.
Well, yeah, I know, but whatever. I mean, it's fine. Good job. Absolutely. Good job by the Wolverines.
Michigan's had a terrific season, and more may lay ahead for this Wolverine team. Obviously, a number one projected seed right now, and it's navigated COVID. It's navigated the very difficult Big Ten, and has won it handily, actually.
Yeah, and we said at the beginning of the year, Mark, what was our thought?
I think we were around six, which is where Iowa could finish. And that may be only good enough for third place in the league. But, you know, that goes to show you what Michigan has done, I think.
Yeah, I would have never have guessed. Now, even though Michigan is not going to play the amount of games that others have played, They're going to
17. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to get 17 in. They're going to play Michigan State again, this time in East Lansing, coming up on Sunday. But let's say they win. Let's say they win. They go to 15-2. Even if they drop the last three, it's 15-5. That's exactly where we thought the Big Ten champion would be at the start of this thing. And Iowa, if with a win, ends up at 14-6. And we asked, would 14-6 maybe get it? We didn't think it would. And it's going to turn out it's not going to win a Big Ten regular season title.
A lot of interesting things, I think, in the Big Ten beyond the top. I mean, Ohio State sits at 12-7, has a home game to Illinois. What if Ohio State drops that game? I mean, they're still on the two line, Scott, at 12-7 in the league. All the losses Ohio State has had have been in the league. And then you've got Michigan State, which has to play Michigan again, could finish 14-12 and ninth in the league, maybe somewhere in there. Right now, along with Drake, Michigan State is among the last four in, and a loss to Michigan,
Then you got to win. At least two in the Big Ten tournament.
You would think.
Yeah, I think that is the case. 319-366-1600 at 325. You and I and Drake are going to go at it here in about 90 minutes from Arch Madness in St. Louis. And that's a big one, to say the least, for the Drake Bulldogs. Biggest game in a long, long time as far as Drake is concerned. Cannot afford a loss. They have to get to the conference championship game. And I am a proponent of the Missouri Valley getting two in. But if they made the semifinal and get beat by Missouri State or whatever, yeah, we'll see. But Drake has to win this game against Ben Jacobson and UNI tonight.
Well, I would agree, despite a glossy record, I just mentioned, it sits on the last four in most bracketologies. Not that that was the ultimate, that's the ultimate source, but I think it's pretty well known. You can't lose this game if you're Drake and expect to get in the NCAA tournament, despite what, 25 wins?
Correct.
I mean, it's been a tremendous year for Drake, despite losing a couple players to injury. But if you drop this game, I think your NCAA tournament aspirations are over.
By the way, last time Nebraska beat Iowa was in basketball last year. Thank you, 1156.
Seems longer ago than that.
By the way, from Arch Madness earlier on today, Loyola had no problem ending Southern Illinois' season 73-49. Going on right now is Indiana State and Evansville, and that is the 4-5 game. Indiana State, the 4 seed with a 40-36 lead. That one about halfway through the second half. One of those teams on the bubble won earlier today. St. Louis, the Billikens in the Atlantic 10, beat UMass in the 4-5 game, 86-72. So that helped out things as far as SLU is concerned, St. Louis University down there. And like I said, we've got three conference finals coming up this weekend for you right here in KGYM, and definitely looking forward to that. Girls State Basketball Tournament, before we get to a break here, as we've got championship games set in four of the five classes. Unfortunately, our final local team bowed out today as West Branch with a very good showing, as the Bears lose in a semifinal to Dyke New Hartford, and they won it 57-47. But Coconut Valley winner earlier on today. They held off Nottoway Valley 47-45. Did not have a field goal, made field goal in the last 7:03, I believe I read, from Jeff Linder. So it'll be number one versus number two in Class 2A tomorrow as Coconut Valley will take on Dyke New Hartford. 5A championship coming up tonight. It'll be Waukee and Johnson. That is also one versus two as far as the seeds are concerned. One versus two in 4A. It'll be Glenwood taking on Ballard. That will be coming up tomorrow. Class 3A, it's four versus three. West Lyon and Unity Christian, both from Northwest Iowa, will go at it. Class 1A, one of the semifinals is in the book. It was Algona Garrigan who beat Springville earlier on this week. They beat Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton 57-35. Noel Fonda and Montezuma will get started at the top of the hour to set up the other final as far the fifth and final game. We'll talk with Jeff as well about a little high school football news coming out. That sounds like next week we will know exactly what's going to happen with schedules and whatnot as far as high school football for 2021 is concerned.
And perhaps the movement in conferences. We talked earlier in the week about some of the Central Iowa Metro League teams maybe forming their own league. And I know Jim Nelson at the Waterloo Courier saying that Waterloo East, Waterloo West may be interested in that league as well. So we'll see what Jeff knows about that.
Yep, we will talk about that with Mr. Johnson of the Gazette. We'll do that when we come back after this break right here on KGYM. Want to remind you, though, planning your wedding might look a little different this year, but one thing that remains the same is adding the special touches to your beautiful wedding day. And let our sister station's Z102.9 Wedding Show be the start to your beautiful future. It's all free at WeddingDayIA.com. That's WeddingDayIA.com. You'll be able to check out the Z102.9 fashion show featuring beautiful gowns from Heart to Heart Bridal, the latest looks from Prince Albert, tuxedos and suits, and much, much more. Again, go to that website, WeddingDayIA.com. WeddingDayIA.com. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette when we return here on KGYM.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on Israel Adesanya to win against Jan Blachowicz in their fight on March 6th. Just use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Get ready to start betting with confidence and turning knockouts into payouts. Sign up today and discover BetMGM's parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets if Adesanya defeats Blachowicz. Get in the ring with the king and enjoy fight night more than ever. It's always showtime at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Get a stylish solution for every room with window treatments at Menards and save with 11% off everything. Get window images, room darkening vinyl and aluminum blinds, faux wood blinds, and cellular shades trimmed to width for free. Or order a custom style and size. Choose from durable, economical options to stunning custom designs, all 11% off. Good through March 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
What does your small business want from a healthcare plan in these changing times? You want employees to have access to the largest network of doctors. You want flexible plans to fit your needs and your budget. But mostly, you want peace of mind, knowing your employees and company will be taken care of. It's why 8 out of 10 small businesses choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. See how we can help you take control. Find your best plan at wellmark.com/business.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back to the Gym Class Friday edition here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend out there. We've got high school basketball, boys state tournament action coming up on Monday morning at 9:45, 107.5 FM, as we will have North Lynn taking on South Wynn, South Winnesheek from Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. And again, it's North Lynn Lynx for us. It's going to be a very unusual state tournament week with only one team to follow down there, but we'll see what we can do with the Lynx. I'll be down there with football coach Jared Collum's going to join me on the call. So looking forward to that, the Northland football coach. And we'll have that for you coming up on Monday morning at 9:45. That'll be on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. Also down there Monday morning will be Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. We encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter, a very enjoyable Twitter account as well. And JJ will be down there as well. And you're going to be down. I haven't heard if the newspaper folks for boys will be on the playing floor. That's where they are for girls this week. We are way upstairs, buddy boy.
I don't have any.
You'll find out when you get there.
Anything to do with that? So I did not send you guys way upstairs.
I like it actually.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind being up there honestly either. You know, if we can get down to do post game interviews in an expedient, you know, manner. So
sure.
I guess we'll have to wait and find out, huh?
Yeah, they'll tell you where to go when you go in.
That's a loaded question with me. I know where a lot of those folks would like to tell me where to go. So.
Hey, Jeff, you remember when you and UNAS were being let out of the University of Iowa?
When we were let out of the University of Iowa?
Well, you might have graduated, I guess, I should say.
Jeff and I believe, both have diplomas.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Yes.
The reason I bring it up is because it's been about that long.
Yeah, I mean, hell, we were roommates, and I remember doing a Scooby-Doo impersonation for a commercial that he was producing for one of his communications classes. So
no way, no way.
Absolutely. Do you remember that, Scott?
I do. Jeff does a great Scooby-Doo.
I'm not doing it right now.
No,
sorry.
I wasn't going to ask you to do that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for
You're welcome.
So.
You're welcome. Now,
the reason I bring it up, Jeff, as you know, because of Scott's research, it's been 35 years since the metro area was shut out of both the boys and girls state basketball tournament. And I know you concentrate on boys, and Kennedy came oh so close. Is it just one of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything goes in cycles, right? You know, in high school sports, I think, and maybe not quite as much today and at the biggest school level. I think you're seeing a trend of who's always going to be really, really good in sports and things. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. I think we went into this season and kind of said, you know, it just kind of looks like, you know, kind of an average, ordinary year around here for boys basketball and in particular. And, you know, it just kind of worked out that way. But, you know, I think I also look at some of the real, you know, some of the Kennedy has a lot of good young players. Washington has a lot of good young players. And it was in a sub-state. You know, I can see Prairie being really good next year. They're two with the two guards, you know, Walter and Ward. And then if Gabe Burkle comes back from injury, I mean, they're going to be good. You know, Marion Brayson Lobby is all first team, all metro pick. He was just a sophomore. So yeah, it just goes in cycles. And I think this is an aberration, probably at least on the boys side, more than anything.
I think so too. It just kind of goes that way. And that's the way it ended up this year. You had that Kennedy Johnston game at the Roundhouse, and that was beauty, man.
Yeah, it was. That was a terrific game. Not, you know, virtually nothing separated those two teams. You know, I think Kennedy had as much as, I think, an 8-point lead, you know, in the second quarter, and Johnston had a 6-point lead in the second half, and, you know, both teams fought back from those deficits, and you know, they had a little bit of controversy at the end of regulation on if there was actually a foul before the buzzer on Kennedy, which would have allowed Johnston to go to the line with no time on the clock to make a free throw and win the game. And, you know, then Johnston gets well ahead in overtime, and Kennedy comes back and actually has a chance to to tie it or win it at the end of overtime. So, yeah, that was a really good high school basketball game in a great facility, man. The roundhouse is really something.
True.
Jeff, all three of us have covered many state tournaments, and I don't think for Scott's sake and for your sake, there's very few area teams that you're going to have to worry about, right?
I've got five, and that's
you have five. Okay,
a small amount as I can remember. Guaranteed to have a semifinalist because we've got North Lynn and South Winnesheek and playing against each other in a 1A quarter, and Montezuma also is in our area in 1A, Beckman in 2A, and then who am I missing in 3A? Oh, Western Dubuque. In 3A, Monticello. So, what is that? That's six. I can't even count anymore. So
you counted Monticello twice, no. Western Dubuque.
Yeah, I may or may not have that predicted to happen in the semifinals. So I'm really interested, Scott, in that Monticello Pella game in the first round, because those are like two polar opposite teams. Pella loves to get up and down the court and score a lot of points, and Montezuma is so patient and only gives up 35 points a game. So great contrast in styles in that 3A quarterfinal.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up. Let's start with 4A. I've said it. People that have seen them have said it. This Cedar Falls team may be one of the better teams we have seen in a couple decades come down the Mississippi Valley Conference. You don't get a team with five college basketball players starting very often, and the sixth man is the son of the UNI coach, Ben Jacobson.
Yeah.
Tall, athletic. They are long. They can shoot the lights out. You name it, this Cedar Falls team has got it.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting, to be senior in the first round, right?
Yeah, and seniors, they're playing really well.
Yeah, on a big time role. But certainly you got to like the Tigers to come out of that part of the bracket, and Waukeeta sitting there as the two seed, and what an interesting first round game for Waukeeta, playing Pleasant Valley, right?
A team that wants to keep it in the teens.
Yeah, exactly. What was it, 21-19 against Bettendorf in the sub-state semifinals? So that's an interesting little encounter there for Waukeeta. And Ames is the third seed and has the Lipsy kid who at least before he blew his knee out was considered one of those top freshmen a couple years ago, and he's recovered from that and is a terrific player. So, but I think everybody kind of anticipates maybe a Cedar Falls Waukeeta dream matchup, so to speak, there in the finals. We'll see what happens.
Before we leave 4A, I really was scratching my head about the seeding that the coaches came up with. Pleasant Valley was only lost three. They were a seven. And Dowling was a five, and I think they have eight losses or something like that. The coaches at CIML was really good this year.
Yeah. I think Kennedy beat Dowling.
Beat Dowling.
At Dowling. Yeah, I know it's all 16 coaches that are in sub-state finals that gave their votes for the seeding. They seeded every team in a sub-state final, 1 through 16, and that was how the state tournament seed was figured out for each club. So, you had plenty of CIML teams in there, right? So, I'm not going to accuse anybody of,
hey, you gotta
voter
win.
Fraud or anything like that. But that part was kind of interesting, Scott. And, I think everybody felt the CIML, at least the suburban Des Moines teams were that's where the power was this year, outside of Cedar Falls, I think. So, again, we'll find out if that kind of holds true.
Tuesday night, you have back-to-back area games for you anyway, in Class 3A with Western Dubuque and Monticello. Talk about their matchups, Jeff.
Yeah, I talked a little bit there, Mark, about Monticello and Pella being kind of a big contrast in styles. Pella's the 2 seed. Monticello's the 7 seed, despite being 22-0. But, that comes down to playing in a primarily 2A conference. And, Monty only played one 3A team in the regular season. And that was Decorah. And, from the accounts of that game, I heard probably should have lost to Decorah. That's why Monticello's the 7 seed, and contrast in styles makes that a very interesting game. And then Western Dubuque had its best season since joining the the Mississippi Valley Conference, sitting there at 18-4, senior laden team, really good player, 6'6" Dylan Johnson, forward, who's a tremendous player, and Garrett Baumhover has done a great job of point guard for them. Those are their two primary players, and they play a Sergeant Bluff Luton team that always seems to find a way to get the state, that also plays in a, primarily 4A league there, outside of Sioux City. So, interesting. I think Western Dubuque is really a dark horse to win this whole thing, in my opinion. And, look out for Assumption too. That's a 5 seed, with a kid that's going to the University of Texas. The Knights are sitting there at 18-6, but those losses came, with him out of the lineup with a broken hand, and they've had other kids that have been hurt all season and had to miss time, and I think they're back pretty much at full strength now. And again, a team that plays in a primarily 4A conference is sitting there, to me, as a very dangerous number 5 seed.
32 teams, I think we can all agree on, and this may be 1 to 32, the best group that we've had in a long, long time. No matter what class. 3A has got some amazing matchup. Dallas Center Grimes against Assumption is a 4-5 game.
Exactly right.
Ballard's the number one, and they're taking on a Clear Lake team that's only lost twice. So, this is a really, really good tournament. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us at 3:46. Let's go to 2A. Boyden Hull has been number one from start to finish, unbeaten out of the Siouxland Conference way up there. They are going to be a tough out. You've got Comanche making a return trip. Good story with Beckman that you have seen the Blazers a couple times. They've got a toughie in the first round against Des Moines Christian. You got Western Christian in there. Coach Thomas, Aaron Thomas, has brought Applington Parkersburg, and a lot of good teams in 2A.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces, right? When you look at Boyden Hall is always there. AP, as you mentioned, Van Meter's, seems like it's been the state a good amount here recently. Western Christian's always there. Comanche, Des Moines Christian, as you mentioned. And, could this be an all-Hall championship?
Yeah.
Those are your top 2 seeds. So if that's the case, why don't we just, play it at Sioux City, right, or something like that? Beckman, look out for Beckman. They had a great overtime win over West Branch in the sub-state final, and that's a team that, plays in a really good WOMAC conference, and as a 6 seed, lost his best player, Mason White, after 10 games. He blew his knee out. Inspirational story. He decides late in the season he wants to try and rehab and come back and practice and see if he can play a minute or here or a minute or two here and there, and he did that, came back and played at the end of the first, second, and third quarters against West Branch, only in offensive situations, which is just amazing that a kid can play on a torn ACL like that. And they've got a real good sophomore kid, 6'2", 6'3", at Padraig Gallagher, which is maybe the most stereotypical Irish name you'll ever hear, right? So he's a really good player, and look out. I'm predicting them to upset Des Moines Christian in the quarterfinals. So I'll spill that little of intel. You got to wait Monday for all my predictions. So.
Very good.
Hey, Jeff, I won a Northland, the number one seed. Talk about its path to a possible championship or at least a finals appearance.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be a prohibitive favorite over Southwind, which is kind of the Cinderella outfit that took out, defending champ Wapsie Valley in the district, I think it was district semifinals even. Great story, team that, bunch of good athletes up there that have, been to state playoffs in football and at baseball. So, Southwind's not going to be intimidated at all. And then you look, that game in that bracket, opposite Northland, Southwind is two undefeated teams. Martinsdale, St. Mary's at 24-0, and Easton Valley, which is a fellow Tri-Rivers Conference member of Northland, sitting there at 22-0. You got another undefeated team in the other bracket, Lake Mills at 25-0, and then you're sitting there with the three seed being Grandview Christian 20-1, which has a 7-foot sophomore from Nigeria, I believe he is, who is, obviously when you got a 7-footer at the Class 1A level, that's kind of hard to beat. So, Northland's just being Northland. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing run that the Lynx are on, and I talked for a half hour, I think, last night with Coach Mike Hilmer just about, how they've been able to go about it. I think they're 158 or 157-5 in the last 6 years, which is, with the four of those losses coming at the state tournament. So, I mean, that's incredible. What they've been able to do, this team found a way to be undefeated, and the thing is, there's only one senior on the entire roster, so I mean, this run's going to continue at least through next year. And Coach Homer said they have a real good eighth grade group coming up too, so the success is not going to end up there and. What I call the suburbs of Troy Mills.
Ah,
that's where the school's at.
Walker, Troy Mills, Coggin, the great north of Linn County up there. Couple things before we let you go. Number one, you tweeted out today, we should know next week during the boys' state tournament about football. The official designations for classifications and the schedule should be out next week, right?
Yeah, that is correct. And actually, I was leaked a copy of the classifications here a little while ago, and I got to be honest, I haven't looked at all of them. But I think, as I mentioned in a tweet last night, Cedar Rapids Washington is indeed going to be in 4A this season. We have another class, if everybody didn't know. 5A is the highest, or the largest enrollment schools, and that's where Jefferson, Kennedy, Prairie, Linmar, all those schools are all the Iowa City High, Iowa City West are all 5A schools. Washington is a 4A school, as is Iowa City Liberty, which I found interesting. And, Xavier's a 4A school, Marion's a 4A school, things like that. So, yeah, we'll find out. The Board of Control still has to officially okay the classifications, but that's a formality. And then after that, we'll find out probably the next day who's in whose district as far as all the classes this coming season. So some interesting things.
And one more thing before we let you go here, and it sounds like long rumored breakup of the CIML, which talked about earlier on, is going to happen. I think the bigger question is, two of them, what's going to happen with Ottumwa? Are they just going to go to the Southeast? Are they going to go to the Little Hawkeye Conference, perhaps? And then what are the chances of Waterloo West and Waterloo East leaving the Mississippi Valley and heading to this new redo of the Big Eight, if you would?
Yeah, I mean, they're from I'm hearing a lot of rumblings right now, and there could be some big-time change as far as not just the schools that want to leave the CIML, but how that's the ripple effect and how that's going to affect other conferences like the MVC and maybe even the MAC. you know, things like that. So, I mean, to me, it's surprising it took this long. Obviously, honestly, guys, that, you know, the Des Moines Public Schools and Marshalltown, you know, Mason City, Ottumwa, Fort Dodge, I mean, they can't compete with, you know, with the suburban schools in Des Moines. I mean, it's apples and oranges as far as athletics goes. So, I mean, it makes total sense that they finally, you know, just kind of got fed up and decided, hey, we're going to go our own way, you know, create a league that is a lot more competitive for us and for our fellow schools. And, you know, again, I totally can see Waterloo East and Waterloo West being interested in maybe like a Big Eight reunion. And I don't know that necessarily, I would think that Cedar Falls would want to stay with the Valley.
That's what I've heard.
You know, Cedar Falls would dominate the reunited Big Eight, wouldn't they? You know, pretty much in almost all the sports. So, you know, what are the Dubuque schools, you know, going to do? I mean, they got to stick with the Valley. I mean, there's so many questions out there. And, you know, Clear Creek Command, I think probably will be at some point here, will probably be a big enough school to maybe be granted an invite to the MVC. So how's that going to work? You know, so many questions out there. And, you know, this is just the start of it with the announcement that those schools want to get rid of get out of the CIML.
Yeah. You sure you don't want to do that Scooby-Doo impression?
Oh, did I just do it? Oh my goodness. Yeah. I really did that.
You library. Really did. You oh. just did. Yeah.
And I'm dead cold sober too. So that's, I don't know. No excuses.
Hey, I'll see you Monday morning.
Sounds good. I'm not used to this morning stuff. They're killing me here with these game times, Scott. So.
I'm going Sunday night.
All right. All right. Well, fair enough.
There you go. Enough.
Well, I'll shout at you from courtside. How's that?
All right. We'll do. Thanks, man.
Thanks, boys. Have a good weekend.
Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. Quick break. Come back to wrap things up after this.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling or to start the conversation with someone who cares by clicking on live chat or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Back with you to wrap things up in the last couple of minutes here of the gym class on KGYM. Mark, and we've got Big Ten wrestling coming up tomorrow in State College as Iowa will look for a Big Ten championship. Iowa State with their championships as well as UNI. So a lot of wrestling. Girls state tournament will wrap up. We'll get ready for the boys next week. And college tournaments take center stage coming up this weekend. Going to be fun.
Yeah, it really is. As far as the Big Ten wrestling, Iowa has 7 wrestlers seeded 1 or 2. Each of those wrestlers will get a first-round bye, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, Mark Ironside will join us on Wednesday. Mike Colas will join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at Iowa, Wisconsin. We'll know where Iowa will play and what time and who they will play coming up as well with the Big Tens. And I look forward to that coming up on the Monday edition of the program right here on KGYM. And should be a good weekend, and best of luck to Zach out there as well as he will play the weekend down at Bay Hill. So we'll keep tabs on that particular game. And UNI and Drake, how big a chance you think UNI has, Mark?
Oh, that they're in the spoiler role. There's no question about it. Capable. We'll see.
Kevin Lehman called it. Kevin Lehman said
He thinks it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. I think Drake is probably 60-40 to win, but boy, it's going to be fun. Those two teams and coaches know each other so very well, and you and I and Drake coming up in a little bit over an hour. Coming up next, it'll be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex and Buttons today. They are going to be taking you through from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Mark, have a great weekend, you and the listeners.
You as well. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you Monday.
KGYM, Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. This is KGYM Sports Radio. The Gym. The Gym.
I'm Doug Brown. Quarterback Alex Smith gets his wish. He's now a free agent.